just come to me. You gotta go to him. Come unto me. Well, if God wants something to be done in my life, he knows where I live. You go to him. But it's true. Or we think by a magic wand, God's going to come. No. Come to me. So you go to him. You go to him.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, May 21st, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Taking Up the Yoke. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
That was a beautiful chorus. Comes right to what we want to say this morning. Sister Reina, where are you? There you are. We've been praying for you. You've gone through a hard time, haven't you? But the Lord is faithful. And here you are. We all go through issues in life. We all go through difficulties. And sometimes we ask ourselves the question, why me? Please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, because I'm saying this to myself. That is the most immature question you could ever ask God. Why? Because you see, you're in his hands. And he knows why, but it's not in your business. And if you were to find out why, you would argue with him, wouldn't you? So he's never going to answer the why. So today, I like to remind ourselves of Psalms 23, one of the verses that it's important for you and I to embrace this morning. If we can see it, I think we all know Psalm 23 by heart, but I want you to see the first line of verse 3. He restores my soul. Shall we say it together? He restores my soul. And then he goes on saying, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But there is a restoration of the soul. Sometimes our soul is in pieces, broken, hurt, wounded. And the restoration of our soul is really an everyday affair. Every day we come before him and he works in our hearts and in our lives, because goodness gracious, we know what's going on in our lives and hearts. But I want you to know that there is some things that come to our lives that are unwanted, and they come because they come. And often what happens is, instead of processing God working in my life, we tend to want to fix it ourselves. And the next passage I want you to look at in 1 Peter 2:11 is very powerful. But I want you to understand the context in which I am saying this, because when you move away from God's power to restore your life, you're tripping. Let's look at it. 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world, which is something that a lot of us do not consider ourselves, because most of us consider that this planet is all there is to it, and that's not true. We're just passing by. He says, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your what?
Soul.
He restoreth my soul. So sin in our lives, whatever a classification may be, wars against your soul. Because in reality, it produces an independent life from God. You're facing an issue and you want God to fix it, and it's not fast enough for you, and so you then go on your own. And when you go on your own, well, the soul suffers, because the soul cannot maintain itself in victory when it depends on itself. And then there's struggle. So I don't want to get into all the technicalities of body, soul, and mind, and spirit, and all the different ways and attributes that the scripture speaks about the totality of human beings. But let me just simply have this understanding that when I address the word soul, I mean everything about you. The composite. There's will, there is reason, there are feelings. There are so many different dimensions to who we are. But let me just say soul is everything about you. It's what ties everything together, your soul. It's what brings it all together. And so when we say he restores my soul, he restores everything inside of you and outside of you. It's the totality of who you are. Our text this morning, however, is in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Everybody should know this by heart, but I think it's appropriate for us to look at it again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. How many are weary and burdened? And I will give you rest. That's Jesus speaking. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for what? For your soul. We have to understand, and it's indispensable, that the first step in caring for ourselves, for caring for our soul, for nurturing who we are, is to place it under God. My life belongs to God. And he's got control. I give him my life. I gave my soul to the Lord. I gave my heart to him. And then when we acknowledge the soul, when you acknowledge who you are, it is only then that you can hear the cries and the deficiencies and the pain and the anguish, the areas of our life that are incomplete because we've gone on our own way to do things. And in the passage that we read prior to that, Jesus heard the cries of humanity, and he saw people around him, of course. He saw men and women desperate in need, struggling with the overwhelming tasks of life. You know, he saw you, saw me. And so when we succumb, when we allow ourselves to be in weariness and in labor and trying to plow through the issues of our life and trying to do it, it's a sign of a soul that is not properly rooted in God, because we're trying to do it ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. It's not a guilt trip that we're presenting to you, but a reality that you may be struggling today because you need to trust God more than you trust yourself. He saw the multitude, Jesus, around him, and he tore his heart apart because he saw them distressed and downcast as sheep without a shepherd. He saw the futility of trying to resolve the issues by themselves. And so he invited people. He said, come unto me. Think of it. He saw what was going on, a condition that was there. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. He said, learn of me. Yoke yourself with me. Let me show you how to pull the cart. How I can help you pull the cart. You don't have to do this on your own. When you're doing it on your own, you're heavy laden and you're desperate and you're wrong. You'll never have peace of heart and peace of mind. It's amazing how the Lord will help us pull our load. Because you do have a load and you can't do it by yourself. And when you try to do it by yourself, you sin. Because you're looking dependence for yourself instead of depending on the Lord to do it. You got to say, Lord, I need you in my life. And this is not above him. It's not above the Lord for him to take an interest in your life. He's deeply interested and committed to you. And he wants your life to be a life of victory, yeah, but a life of abundant living in the midst of the issue that you're facing today. He is the one that causes you to go above. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly of heart. There's a characteristic about Jesus, we'll define it in a few minutes, that causes him to impart to us a humbleness of our life, an attitude of surrendering, maybe the word, or simply accepting God in your life and seeing him work through the issues that you have today. Where you're no longer depending on your own strength, but on the strength that God gives. Because you yoke yourself together with him. It's being yoked is not getting more work. It's not more labor intensive. It simply means that you tie yourself to the Lord and the Lord helps you with the load. He puts his elbow, his arm, his shoulder, and picks it up. And walks with you. Hallelujah. Scripture says that you will find his yoke. The yoke the Lord calls us. Because it's light. It's a burden. It's easy and light. Because he said, learn of me. Look how I do it. Learn of me. I can't. Come to me. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me. When was the last time that you learned from the Lord? When was the last time you had a conversation with him? Not a complaining conversation, though that's allowable, but a conversation to say to the Lord, Lord, I need to learn how to use your strength to carry this burden because it's crushing me. We need to learn how to rest our souls on God. And some of us need to learn that real fast. I say that because my soul, your soul, our soul is only at peace when it's with God, as a child with his mother. Peace. Meek and lonely of heart. It's described as behavior with goodness and kindness, with strength, and it's the most abundant attribute, meekness, that the Lord shows all through Scripture, that he has that quality of humility that adorns the Lord and is passed on to you. We don't hear much about humility. We really don't. Well, we do that. We say, Lord, I come to you with my burdens. I come to you with my issues. I come to you with my conflicts. I come to you with my pain. I come to you with my insecurities. I come to you. And just like the Psalms, you and I need to learn how to abandon the outcomes. We cannot predict or tell God how this thing will be fixed, how you will receive the answer, and what kind of answer you will get from the Lord. We often come to God and say, Lord, please help me with this. I want this. we impose on God an outcome. Let's go a little bit lighter now, so kind of heavy here. I really cared for this girl before I met Wilma. Confession is good for the soul. And I said, Lord, I know you have someone for me, and it's her. See what I'm getting at? It's true. And then I said, if it's not, move her away. He moved me away. She's still there waiting for me. But see, we need to be a little bit light here, because sometimes it's such nonsense that we predict. We tell God how we want him to answer the issues that we cannot solve ourselves. The outcome belong to God. And for me, it was wonderful to accept that I don't have it in myself to really know how to answer this problem, how to fill the void in my heart, how to have the joy of my salvation again, how to feel loved and appreciated by God and others. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. How do I fix my marriage? You can't. He can. What about my children? You can't. He can. And 1 Peter 4:19 says, even if we suffer according to the will of God, we simply entrust our souls to the faithful Creator in doing what is right. Even when things go wrong, we do what is right because God is working in our lives and the outcomes belong to him. We have a very short lifespan in our thinking. We think that the moment that we die is the end, and it's just the beginning. See, when you and I die, we enter into God's presence and we live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Scripture says we will reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you and I are really immortal beings. You have a spirit which was given to you by God, which is eternal. We are partakers of God's divine nature. We just don't live here 80 years or 90 years or 102. And Andy was telling me about a lady 102 years old in the hospital. I don't know if I want to be here for 102 years with the body I have right now. But there is an eternity that we forget. We're not conscious of it. God is working in your life and in my life, and he says that the problems and the sufferings that we're going through are never able to be compared to what will be revealed to us over there. Amen. This is not just pie in the sky. It's our faith. So we have to become meek and lowly. We have to be humble. And that's how we learn in his yoke. Humility is the framework where all other virtues flow, to be humble. The Lord didn't say something like, learn of me to despise the world and live in poverty. No, he simply said, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. I'm humble. The Lord is not calling you to a weird, strange, monastic experience where you will find a realization of something. He wants you to live your life with his help. Amen. He wants to be there, and he is there. If you would just give him his place, say, yes, Lord. One of the signs in which you and I know that we're in a state of grace and that we're serving God and we're moving forward is that we're not puffed up. And again, Peter, 1 Peter 5:5 says that we are to clothe ourselves with humility. It's loss of self-sufficiency. It's not trying to do it on my own strength. I don't know how to explain this because it's a mystery to me as well, except that it works. When I say, Lord, I don't know how this will be resolved, but you will resolve it, and you will surprise me when you will resolve it. mention it again, how a tree grows. When we were remodeling the garden in my backyard, I planted 4 eucalyptus trees, and they were miserable looking. They were about this, the trunk was about that big. Look at it now, it's like this. I never heard the tree grow. It grew silently. It didn't make no fuss, didn't make no noise, it just grew. And God is in your life, He doesn't make a fuss, it just grows. Amen. Silently. You know, they say God works in mysterious ways. Yes, He does, and yet not so mysterious because we see the end result, but it's His result, not mine. Not my outcome, but His outcome. Not my will, but His will be done. And the Bible tells us that God gives grace to the humble. Peter, again, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Oh, the greatest secret for the issue that you're facing this very morning is for you and I to be humble and say to the Lord, Lord, You will resolve this for me. We don't presume to secure an outcome. We simply say, I'm in God's hands. Again, you know, the biggest fear we all have is death. And we think that death is the ultimate. But I just want you to know that death is nothing more than entering into the presence of God, into a state that you will be forever and ever with the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that moment when the Lord calls me home. Not right away, but when He calls me home. Because none of us here are masochists. But the truth of the matter is that the outcome is God's. Timothy Keller is a theologian that just passed away, and he's a Presbyterian. It's okay. It's okay. And he did a great work in New York City, tremendous work. And he had pancreatic cancer, and he died of that at age 72. He's in the presence of the Lord. And before he died, he wrote and spoke and said, I'm looking forward to my glorified body. Because we will have a glorified body. See, you got it. You. What's the saying? The Lord makes us eagles, but we act and walk and talk like turkeys. It's true. It's true. We're made to soar with wings as eagles, and yet we're like a bunch of turkeys. I'm trying to help you see, there's a bigger picture here. The humbleness that comes before is the secret of resting your soul, restoring your soul, because it's not presuming how God is going to resolve the issue. He will resolve it. Somebody said that this is a very simple fact. Quote, we live in a world where, by God's appointment, the race is, this is Ecclesiastes 9:11, the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warrior, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. Think of it. The Lord, in Psalms 147, does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man, which means the strength. What are we saying here? That is up to God. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your soul. Let me help you carry that burden. Oh, I'm going to do it. You know, the all-American way, you know, rugged individualism. It doesn't work. You got to rely on the Lord, and you have to trust the Lord and know that He will take care of it. Did you know that God has a plan for your life if you care to understand what it is? And when you look at God's plan for your life, it's not an imposed plan, but it's a plan that's worked together with you. We were made to do good works, But God does not impose the agenda. He says, what do you want to do? How do you want to live? And he comes to you and says, I'll help you. Yoke yourself to him. And you work together. Amen. And you know, you commit your way to the Lord, and he will straighten the path. So what do you want to do in life? Bring it to him and say, this is what I want to do. The Lord says, okay, let's work together on it. And you let him work together. I don't care what you want to do in life. I don't, whatever God put in your heart to do. You want to be a medical doctor. You want to be an engineer. You want to be a factory worker. You want to be a post office lady. That she's asking God for deliverance. But anyway, whatever you want to do, you come to God. And the Lord says, I'll help you do it. I'll help you do it. So when you learn of the Lord, you know, you rest in the life that he's given you. I'm happy where I am. And if I got issues, those issues can be resolved by coming to him and by saying, Lord, work with me. I want to work with you. And he begins to work with you, and those things become resolved. Amen. And they're the platform by which you will grow, and you will understand how much Jesus really loves you and what he can do. Knowledge from Christ, learn of me, enables you to let all the outcomes be from him. You bring the outcome in my life that is appropriate, Lord, and he will do that. Amen. Anxiety, be anxious for nothing, he said, you know. And it's hard, I know. But all I can tell you is that you can wait on the Lord and say, Lord, my heart today is very anxious. I'm all tied up inside in knots. I have this huge pain in my heart. Lord, will you work with me? He will work with you, and he will lift that. Right. How he does it. Psalms 37:7. Rest or be still in the Lord and wait patiently, longingly for him. You know, maybe the reasons we don't rest as much and we don't have the victory as much as we should is because we don't go to him. We're embroiled in our own heart, and we have our own ways of trying to resolve the issue instead of simply saying, Lord, you do this and lift the burden from me. Do you go to the Lord? Do you have a conversation with the Lord? Or is your faith religious, or is your faith with a relationship? You don't have to be anywhere specific to pray, and you don't have to say specific words. Just open your heart where you are and talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm hurting. So when you do that, you wait on him. But it's just, come to me, you know, and I'm going ahead of my thoughts here, but he says, come to me. You got to go to him. Come unto me. Well, if God wants something to be done in my life, he knows where I live. You go to him. But it's true. Or we think by a magic wand, God's going to come. No. Come to me. So you go to him. You go to him. Just go to him. In your heart, just go to him. Lord, I'm heavy laden, Lord. I got this in my heart, Lord. I'll take care of you. Learn with me. I'll show you. And the knowledge of Christ, as he speaks to you, you will uncover how you can live a life that is good. It says, my yoke is easy. The word easy in the Greek can mean well-fitting. In Palestine, ox yokes were made of wood, and the ox was brought, and the measurements were taken. Did you know that? And the yoke was roughed out, and then the oxen would come back, and they would put the newly carved yoke and to have it tried out And the yoke was carefully adjusted so that it would fit well, so not to chafe or hurt the neck of the patient animal. The yoke was tailored made to fix the ox. How you doing? How is your yoke? Did you put that yoke yourself, or did you allow the Lord to custom fit the yoke that he will help you carry? There's a legend. Let me read to you that Jesus made the best ox jokes in all of Galilee, yokes. And from all over the country, people came to him to buy the best yokes that skill could make. He was a carpenter. Yokes were made out of wood. And in those days, as now, this is legends. Shops had their signs above the door, and it has been suggested that the sign above the door of the carpenter's shop in Nazareth may have well been, "My yoke fit well." Hallelujah. His yoke fits you well. Amen. It's not to crush you. It's to help you. Is to show you how it can be done. It may very well that Jesus used the word yokes because he was a carpenter and maybe he was known for that. Jesus says, "My yoke will fit you well." Don't think that what I'm asking you to do or what you will be doing will hurt you. It will fit you well. Whatever God sends to you or to me to fit our needs, it fits our needs, our abilities perfectly. Amen. The yoke you're carrying that does not fit is because you made it yourself. Because you tried to carry the burdens of your life all by yourself instead of asking the Lord, "Hey, I'm going to do that. Come unto me," he said. "Come unto me." And indicates, when he says, "Come unto me," indicates a condition that already exists in your life and in my life. And Jesus invites you and me because he knows that we're already weary and we're heavy laden. He knows that. By weary, it carries the idea of working to the point of utter exhaustion. When Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, when he arrived, he says he was tired. And he uses the same word when he reached the well. And Jesus called himself, to himself, anyone who is exhausted from trying to find peace in their hearts and lives. And he shows us how to carry the burden because he carries it for you. The story is that here is the veteran ox and here is the amateur ox. And the amateur ox has to follow the mature oxen. And when the immature oxen moves away, there's problems because it's not following the master ox. Jesus is the master ox. He's the burden bearer. Amen. He carries the load, and you have to just follow him and learn of him. Together, you learn from him. He is the one that carries it. When we talk about, you know, heavy laden, we talk about this great. See, it indicates that at some point in the past, a great load was dumped on a weary person. Something was dumped on top of you, and you're not able to shake it off. See, internal exhaustion, it's trying to make it and not making it is because you're doing it all by yourself. And, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were horrible people telling them how to get right with God. And they would give all kinds of commandments and instructions and rituals and none of them. And Jesus accuses them saying, you're ruining everything. You guys don't even know what you're talking about. That's not how life should be lived. Again, come unto me and learn of me. You need to be a submissive disciple. You need to be a follower of Jesus Christ who will say this morning, Lord, I've been doing this by myself. I've been carrying this burden by myself. No, whether I acknowledge it or not, whether it was intentional or not, I find myself trying to fix my life when only you can fix it. So, Lord, I'm asking you to help me to come to you, to be brave enough and to say, I'm here, Lord, because I'm heavy laden. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Well, you can say words to the effect, Lord, I want to learn from you how to live life. The Lord tells us that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works in Ephesians 2:10. That Jesus prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And there's a walk that you and I need to perform next to him. It's a walk that is inevitable. You have to walk the walk. You have to live the life. But you do it with Jesus, who's gentle in heart and gives you rest, not weariness. When you how do I say this to make it really clear? If you're struggling, there's something wrong. Struggle very little and come to the Lord and say, Lord, you need to help me with this because I can't do it. His yoke is easy. And yet, his burden is not like Pharaoh, who bitterly oppressed God's people, or like the scribes and the Pharisees, who burdened the law. They're the Jews with the law. No. Listen, there are times when, years ago, when Andy and I were working in our church, and we had 3 services on Sunday, and packed out, we had a choir of 30, 40 voices. Some of you may remember that. It was just one of those wonderful times of yesterday, and we work hard. And sometimes we would ponder and ask ourselves whether we were really doing what we should be doing. And we would say, are we doing this ourselves, or is this the Lord working? Because sometimes, without wanting to, we do things that God never wanted us to do. We just do it. And so our standing joke was when we stand in the presence of the Lord and we tell him about the conflicts and the issues, he will say to me, well, I don't know why you guys were doing that because I never asked you to do that. And you know, there's a lot of things that you and I do that we think God wants us to do that God is not interested in. You're doing it because you want to, because you have to be in control. Instead of allowing the Lord, just say, okay, Lord. Christ will never oppress you. Listen, Christ will never oppress you or give you a burden too heavy to carry. If you're overwhelmed today, come to him, because it happens. And I go to him often. It happens. His yoke has nothing to do with the demands of the world. His yoke is nothing more than him helping you live your life right so that your soul would have peace. John 5:3. Look what it says. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Think of that. And yet sometimes we think that we have to pay for our sins, you know. Oh, this is the cross, you know. And we make a mistake. We assume that we are to carry things that the Lord is there to carry with us and often for us. There's a joy of living for the Lord. There's life abundant that needs to be understood in our lives. I know. Obedience to Christ is joyful and happy. Amen. And there are things I cannot resolve in my life. I let him resolve them. I'm not looking for outcomes anymore. It's not that I live a life of irresponsibility. No, I trust the Lord to bring the outcome. But I'm not going to impose my outcome. I'm going to let the Lord work that out. And he will work them out as he wishes to in my life. The burdens are too heavy. You and I will crush. And we are crushing when we try to do it ourselves. You got to put your eyes on the Lord. A gentleman that we often read at the university and here at the school as well is Dallas Willard. He's written tremendously. And he tells a story that I want to read it to you. Tag. He's it. When you were young, you probably played a game called tag. Anybody play the game tag? Okay. This was not my game of choice, says Dallas. When I was a very small child, because the big kids always made sure that the little kids were it. Once a smaller child was tagged, just about all hope was lost. The big kids could run so much faster that it felt like the little ones would be it forever. I did all I could to avoid being it. A day with Jesus is just the opposite. Jesus is it, and you are not it, as we declare at the start of the game. Jesus is it, not me. So it's not up to you to make everything happen now. Yoke to Jesus. Allow him to carry most of the load as you go about your day in his uplifting presence. This is great relief, says Dallas. As you work better and accomplish good things, your mind will be clearer. You will be working with strength and peace in your heart. Not so when you're it. Not so when you are it. When everything depends on you, it can feel like your feet are bolted to the floor. Everything becomes a burden. You become irritated, even hopeless, despairing. I think I'm ruining every single day. So if you find yourself lapsing back into the role of it, simply reach out and say to Jesus, tag, you're it. Tag, you're it. He's so much better at being it than any one of us anyway. So the yoke is a posture of life beyond death. Is depending on the Lord, brings much fruit. Let the Lord resolve a problem because he is a specialist and he is it. So bring your frustration to the Lord. Whatever situation you're going through, it could be your job related, it could be family related, marriage related, children related, physically related, name it. Bring it to him and say, you're it, Lord. You carry it for me. And he will surprise you because you will come to him and you will learn from him how to really live the life. Can I hear an amen? So, Lord, we come before you and we confess to you, Lord, that we come to you because we're weary and burdened. But we also believe that you will give us rest for our souls. Lord, we want to take your yoke. And we want to learn from you. We want to learn humility, gentleness, so that we will find rest for each one of our souls. Lord, I thank you. You tell us that your yoke that you give us, the yoke you carry is easy. And your burden is light. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to do it all ourselves. Forgive us for trying to make it ourselves. Forgive us for trying to be what we can never be, and that is God. Lord Jesus, we bring to you our heaviness, Lord, and we don't minimize it, and neither do you. because you were moved with compassion when you saw us. You saw us this morning, Lord, and you were moved with compassion because you saw our weariness and our burdens and the unrest, the questions, the uncertainty, pushing for outcomes that are impossible, wanting to make sense of life when we can't without you. So, Lord, we take your yoke, Lord. We want to learn from you. We come to you and we learn from you. Thank you for being gentle, and thank you for being humble, and thank you for giving us rest for our souls. He restoreth my soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. If you will stand with me and lift those hands and sing unto the Lord. There you go. Isn't that what we want? Start from scratch.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Take your yoke, Lord. It's your yoke, Lord.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me.
Can I hear an amen to that, huh? The Lord just do that. This is the day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.